Chronicles, chapter number 20. I don't know how much of this I can get to tonight, but we're going to try to just have a little Bible study. Now, I like to preach. Sometimes when I teach, I say, does anybody have anything to say? And I give you about a second and a half. But you can wave at me. You can holler at me. One time I was sitting on a deer stand down in Greene County. And I was sitting there, and this deer come over the hill. I could hear it, and it come running by. And, you know, if you've ever hunted, you can kind of bleat at them, and they'll stop. And I made that sound, that meh, you know, that you make. Well, I did that three or four times. It never stopped. Finally, I said, whoa, hollered real loud, and that deer stopped. So every now and then, you might say, whoa. Because there's a lot of stuff in this right here. And when I got, this was on my heart, and the more I studied it, in all honesty, I don't, if it's for me, I apologize, but it sure is on my heart. How many remember the cartoon Popeye? Popeye, who was in it? Popeye? Brutus. Olive oil. Those are the three I remember. What was Wimpy? Wimpy. For a hamburger today? I gladly pay you on Tuesday. Yeah. Our kids don't have the good cartoons, do they? Remember Popeye, and he had the muscles, and he had the ships drawn on him. And when he had, what happens? What did he say? He said, I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. And he'd take that spinach, and he'd pop it, and he'd put it in his mouth, and then he'd beat up Brutus. Brutus is like the devil. Brutus is the enemy. He's the one that's coming against you and pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. Sometimes this world comes against you, doesn't it? Sometimes you have an adversary that comes against you. Sometimes the enemy comes against us. And folks, we're living in a world to where the enemy is doing all that he can. Okay? I get so tired of sometimes hearing all the things that are going on in politics. I have left my radio off lately for just days at the time. And I just spot check it. I turn it on. And I did this last week. They're talking about the exact same thing they're talking about a week before. I said, I've had enough. But there's a verse in Matthew chapter 24, and I may preach on this soon. But it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now think about that. My wife and I, we go down the road now, and it's amazing how people drive. People don't treat each other very well. They're unkind. There's a lack of kindness. There's a lack of just general respect. And you used to be that, you know, we're in the friendly South, right? What'd they call it? The Bible Belt. And they used to call men from the South Southern gentlemen. And, you know, if you were from the South, it was a friendlier place than Philadelphia. What does Philadelphia mean, by the way? Brotherly love. Well, you don't get a whole lot of brotherly love in that city. Y'all remember back in the 90s when the Braves were playing the Phillies in the playoffs and the Braves lost, and there was a bus full of fans that were on their way back home, and the Philadelphia Phillies fans rocked that bus until they turned that giant bus over full of fans. What's that about? But you know, we're living in a world today to where there's a lot coming against you. You're going to have adversaries. People are going to not care. Sometimes some of the things people do, I'm amazed that they even can do them or that they come out of their mouth. But for you and I, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever got this way, but I have. I've got to where I say, Lord, I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. Well, what do you do when you get that way? Well, there's a story here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was being faced by the enemy. And I want to read just a few verses to you. I got 25 verses here in this chapter that we need to cover, but I also need to go to chapter 6 and cover about 15 there. And I just don't know. But folks, this is the Word of God. It's good. Okay? So let's just read it and let's talk about it. The Scripture says in verse 3, let's go back to verse number 1 so that you can get the context and understand why. But in verse number 1, it says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazzon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Now here's something I want you to see. It was the Moabites, it was the Ammonites, and it said others beside them. So there was a group that got with another group that got with another group, and they were coming against Judah, against God's people. And when Jehoshaphat heard it, the Scripture says that he feared. Now, if you were going to have a thought, and I'll apply this to the 12th verse when we get to it, here's the question. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do, and this is sometimes what happens in our lives, you say, "Lord, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do what's right. But Lord, you see what I'm up against. You see what I'm faced with. You see, Lord, that all of these people are against me." Have you ever felt like you're just trying to do the best you can, and everywhere you turn, somebody's got something bad to say? Somebody's against you. Somebody rejects you. Somebody is just trying their best almost to knock you down. Okay? Just trying to serve God. Just trying to do the right thing. And here's Jehoshaphat. He sees the enemy coming. The Scripture says he feared. And here's what you and I have got to do. We got to recognize our own limitations. When he feared, here's what he did. He sought the Lord. Now, I mentioned Monday night when I was trying to teach the lesson about prayer that for me, now, folks, I pray every day. I do. I pray going down the road. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Here's what that means. That means that any time you got an open line where you can just call on God's name. I call on the Lord like he's right here beside me. And I'll never get through all this. We're going to take it. We might do it 2 weeks or three. Sometimes my phone rings, and I got to where now I can see the number. And I've recognized sometimes who the customers are. You know that I can sometimes look at the number, and before I'm ever picking the phone up, I'm praying, asking God for his help. You see, sometimes it could be the boss. Sometimes it could be that mad customer. You know, you got to deal with them too. Some people hide from them. It's awful, ain't it, Brother Tommy? But you see them and you know you got to deal with them, and I'm praying. And of course, I got Scripture on the wall. It helps me, reminds me of who I am. But the Scripture says that he sought the Lord. It said he set himself to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast. That means he got before the people. And in verse number 4, he gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven that rulest, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Now, I mentioned Monday night, sometimes when we pray, I tell you when I really pray. I really pray when I'm in Jehoshaphat's condition. When I see the enemy coming, what did I say? I said I pray when I'm heavy. What'll make you get down and pray It's when your heart is so heavy that you feel like there's a rope tied around your heart with a weight tied to the end of it. It'll pull you. It's like something literally pulling on your heart. Guess what it'll do for a Christian? It'll pull you to your knees. Now here's what Jehoshaphat said. He said, are not you God in heaven? Don't you rule over all the heathen so that none is able to withstand thee? See, Jehoshaphat, he recognized his own lack, his own limitations. But then he turns and he says, God, but not you. What's the scripture say in the New Testament? A couple of different places, a couple of different ways. It says, with men, this is impossible. But I like the one that says this, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. There's times in my life, and this helps me, it gives me encouragement, and it gives me strength when I see the enemy and I see the things coming against me. And here's what I do. I say, God, if that's going to be dealt with, you got to do it. Here's what Jehoshaphat's doing. He said, Lord, there's an enemy coming, and they're strong and they're powerful, and Lord, I'm afraid. But God, you're God. I'm not, but you are. And if you stand up, Lord, against them, it doesn't matter how many of them there are. And this is what you and I can understand. And, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, I actually did a study on Balaam and Balak. And it encouraged my faith because what it showed me is when the children of God were obedient and walked with God, Balaam could not curse them even if he wanted to. I want to show you something here in just a minute. When Solomon built the temple and he prayed just a few chapters before as we get into this, God said to the people, if you'll walk with me, I'll be your God. And what Jehoshaphat is crying for and what he's pleading to the people about and what he's even crying out to God is saying like this. Doesn't the scripture say in the New Testament that we ought to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need? Here's how you come boldly. You say, all right, God, I need your help. There it is. And you could even say this, there they are. That's what he was saying. There they are. And then he says, art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? And gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying. Okay? He's reminding God. Now here's something to understand. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. This is my life verse. You know, if I'm ever one of them big preachers that sign Bibles. Y'all ever been to a place, preacher come preaching, and people wanted their Bible signed? I've seen that. I went to a church for a period of time that every time we had a preacher come, he'd stand out there, the pastor encouraged everybody, now you young preachers, go let the preacher sign your Bible. They'd go get the Bible signed by the preacher, and you know what they always did? They put their life verse. This is my life verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I heard Adrian Rogers preaching on that, and I like what he said. He said that direct thy paths means to cut a path. That means that's where God prepares the way before you. And here's basically what Jehoshaphat, he's crying out to the Lord, and he said, Lord, you cut a path for your people. And you moved every enemy, every foe out of the way. And this is what I want God to do right here. I want God to cut a path for us to be able to follow him and know what his will is, what he wants us to do in this church, the direction he wants us to take so that we might be able to minister the word of God to somebody's life. Okay? He said, God, you cut a path. And you gave this land to your friend. Your friend, Abraham, and we built a sanctuary here. Listen to what he says in the ninth verse, and then we're going to flip back to the sixth chapter, and he said, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, as judgment, or pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now he goes on and he tells the Lord, of course the Lord already knows, but we got to come before the Lord, right? We got to come to him. Ask not, receive not. If we go back to chapter number 6, and I want us to look at what happened. That house that he was talking about that they built, I want to read you the things that Solomon prayed unto the Lord. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 12. Speaking of Solomon here. It says, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and he set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Now, wouldn't we like to have a leader like that? Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I still believe there's one God. And I still believe that America exists because God wanted us to have a place, okay? He wanted the gospel to go out, and there's been more missionaries go out of this country so that the gospel could be preached around the world. In the last days, as a friend of Israel, which is a part of prophecy, God had a plan for America. I want to tell you something. That don't include allowing Islam to build mosques. I'm sorry, that's just where I'm at. I believe this is God's country. And when we turn back to God, I believe with all my heart, there ain't a nation in the world that'll stand against us. Why? We won't have to fight. God will fight for us. And when Solomon bowed himself before the Lord, listen to what he said. And he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, and spaketh with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. And now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, that there shall not fail thee a man in thy sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as long as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Listen to this verse. Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Now we know that things happened in Solomon's life, and we know where the children of Israel basically didn't fulfill their end. And because they didn't fulfill their end, we know they went into captivity. But at this time, Solomon's bowing before the Lord, and you know what he's saying? And folks, we need to get this, we need to get it deep inside of us. It's not about me, Lord, but it's about you, Lord. He said, the heavens can't even contain thee, much less this house that we've built. But if you go back and you look over here at what Jehoshaphat was saying, he said, your name is in this house. And he come into that house and he's proclaiming and he's asking the Lord to fulfill this promise. Listen to what it says. In the 19th verse, have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. Now, this is Solomon still praying. He said, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name here, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayed toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place, and hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, And when you hear, Lord, forgive. I don't know about you, but I need that. Here he is saying, Lord, when you hear. What did Solomon know? He knew that God's people were going to fail. He knew we were going to have trouble. He knew we wouldn't be able to do right every day. What does Scripture say over there in the book of Genesis? He said, because man's, my spirit will not always strive with man because he is also flesh. But listen to what he prayed, and he's beginning to plead with the Lord. It says, if a man sin against his neighbor and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in thine house, then, Lord, you hear from heaven and do judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Here's something to understand. There are times that all we can do is cry out to the Lord. We can't defend ourselves. We can't justify ourselves. Sometimes you just got to be still and let God do it. We can't. We can't defend ourselves. And here's what this is saying. And when we get back over here in just a minute, you'll see what happened. Remember, it's Ammon, it's Moab, and others. It says, and if thy people Israel be put to the worst before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of thy people and bring them again into the land which thou gavest them and to their fathers. You know, he's crying out and he's saying, Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Now, go back to the ninth verse. Over here in chapter number 20, where Jehoshaphat is crying to the Lord. He said, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and crying to thee on our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Then he says, and now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. So here's Jehoshaphat. He's standing before the Lord, and he's reminding the Lord, as he's in the house of the Lord, the prayer of Solomon. And a prayer that Solomon had before the Lord that he would deliver them if they would be faithful to him. And folks, I believe God will. Here's what I'm going to stand on. If you're God's, just stand on him. Sometimes you just need to stand still and wait on the Lord. He's requesting help from the Lord. But here's what we do. Look at the 12th verse. He said, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And here's what you say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm looking for you. That's what he's saying. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? I'll tell you what you do. You turn to God. Jehoshaphat turned to the Lord and he cried unto the Lord that the Lord would remember the promises that he made to Solomon and the prayer that Solomon prayed over the people when the temple was built. Now, we cry out to God and we ask God for help. I tell you what the hardest part is, just waiting on God to move. Can't stand that. Right now, Lord, okay? Can you imagine this? Of course, it's different, but it's the same. It's relative, okay? They pray. Jehoshaphat cries to the Lord. He's proclaimed the fast. He's got the people on their knees before the Lord, and he looks over the hill, and he sees dust. What's that dust? Enemy's getting closer. You ever heard that saying, it's always darker before dawn? I don't like this, but this is kind of the way it is. The closer I get to God and the more I grow, it seems like the tougher my tests are, Brother Tommy. I mean, it's not like the one I had yesterday. I know about that one. I fought that enemy. It's like David, he fought the bear. It wasn't a bear that he had to defeat next. He fought the lion. It wasn't a lion that he had to defeat next. But when he got over there and he went down to see how his brothers fared and he looked out in the valley, it was a giant. He fought a giant next. And when he stood there before King Saul, and they said, what are you going to do? He said, well, the Lord delivered me from the lion. The Lord delivered me from the bear. He didn't say I'm strong. He didn't say I'm good. He didn't even say this, I'm a good shot. Some people like to say that, I'm a good shot. He said, the Lord will deliver me from this Philistine. Now, here's what's tough, and here's where faith hits. When you say, Lord, I've been walking with you this long in my life. I've been trusting you. You're my king. You're my Lord. I'm devoted to serving you right now. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. But, Lord, I want you to deliver me from this. I want you to deliver me, Lord. I want you to deliver out your people. And while they were waiting, how many of you have seen the movie Fireproof? I mean, some of these movies are worth watching, folks. There's a song, there's a guy named Mark Wahlberg that sings a song. The song is While I'm Waiting. Great scene in the movie. What happened? I don't know his name in the movie, but the husband, Kirk Cameron, he gets saved. He's changed. He's ready to do right. He's not going to scream anymore. He's not going to be mean to his wife anymore. He's ready for God to move, right? He's ready for God to anoint her, sanctify her, get her right. And he goes down the hall and he stands before the door she's in, slammed in his face. He does this. Raises his hand up to knock the door. What do you want to do? I want to talk to her. But you know what? It wasn't time. He had to turn and go back to a lonely room. Folks, I tell you what's tough. It's while I'm waiting. While I'm waiting is the toughest part of our relationship with God, because we want to move, we want to fix it, we want to solve it. But the truth is, sometimes we can't. All we can do is say, Lord, that's yours. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Well, look what happened. It says, and Judah stood before the Lord with all their little ones, their wives, their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Maniah, of the sons of Asaph, came in the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and lo, and thou king of Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but is God's. You know, sometimes the battles we face, they're his. We just got to give them to him. We got to give them to the Lord. And that's what the prophet came and he said, and then he gives them a word. He said, tomorrow go ye down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And then he says this, you won't even need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. I've said this before in this church. I want to see God do something that when people see it, they say, God did that. I want God to do things in my life. There are things on my heart heavy right now. I need this message tonight to where I'll say, God did that. It says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, and fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I want you to know something. The Lord is with you. And everything that you're facing, Everything that you're going through, every battle, the Lord is with you. Okay? If you're here tonight, you want the Lord to be with you, He's with you. It says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Still humble. No place not to be. He didn't smite upon his breast, say, I'm the king, we're going to beat him. He bowed his head to the ground. And all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping. Before they had victory. And the Levites and the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korites stood up and to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose in the morning and went forth to the wilderness. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. In other words, believe what the prophets said, and be obedient to what he said, and do it God's way, and so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And here's what's tough. It's when things ain't going the way you want them. It just ain't, and you just start praising God. You know why people that have a problem need to go down to the children's hospital and work on the floor where the little kids have cancer and where the little kids are trying to find a prosthetic that'll work? Because when they get in there and they begin, you know what you can't help but do? You forget about all your issues and you start praying. You can't help it for them. You start helping somebody in the name of the Lord, and it'll help you. That's what it boils down to. He told them, he said, I want you to sing, I want you to praise, and we're going to cry out to God. Here's what Jehoshaphat already knew. He didn't smite and say, look at our army, we're ready, we're prepared. He said, we're going out here and we're trusting God, because if God doesn't fix it, we can't do it anyway. And that's what we need to recognize. That's what I need to recognize in my life. It says, and when they begin to sing and praise the Lord, what happened? The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. Now listen to what happened to them. Have you got enemies that are against you? Now listen to this. What was it? It was Ammon, it was Moab, and it was others. Sometimes what people do, and this is the way it is. I've seen this in church. People get together and they have a preacher for lunch. Okay? They get against something. And I'll say this, I'm going to talk about this Sunday, and I'll mention it right now. Folks, you know how many men I've seen stand up and announce their calling to preach and fulfill that calling in the last 15 years? Two, Brother Larry. In 15 years have I seen men say, the Lord has called me into the ministry, and stand up and do it. Now, I've seen people say, the Lord called me, but where are they at? I've seen them go to school thinking they're going to make money, but that ain't no calling. I've seen two men stand up and say, God called me into the ministry and actually fulfill the work that God has called them to do. Two in 15 years. Remember, Jehoshaphat, he's God's man in the place at the time, and the enemy comes against him, and it's Ammon, and it's Moab, and it's another group. And they're together against him. But look what happened. Said, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. What happened to them? They all stood up thinking they were going to work together to destroy Jehoshaphat. But remember, they weren't following the Lord. And they ended up turning on each other. Folks, that's what the world will do. I'll tell you who will stick close. Who will stick closer to you than a brother? Jesus. Doesn't the scripture say even, you know, for us, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. But when the enemy comes against you, go back to Chronicles chapter 6, verse 23. Remember Solomon's prayer and how closely it aligns to what happened to these groups that came against Jehoshaphat. It said, then hear thou from heaven and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. I don't know about you, but I believe in prayer. And I believe that prayer that Solomon prayed might have been for Jehoshaphat. Amen? Because he said, let their evil come upon their own head and lift your people up. And here's Jehoshaphat in the temple that Solomon built, and he's reminding the Lord of that prayer. And he's humble before the Lord. He said, God, you're God, you're king, you're powerful, you're strong. We cannot stand against this enemy. And I know, Lord, they're even in your hands. Remember, they're even in your hands. And they cried out to God, even when it hadn't happened yet, and they begin to sing, and they begin to worship, and they begin to praise. God delivered their enemy into their hand. It says, and when Judah came up toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude. It says, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth. In other words, remember that hill they looked at with all that dust over on the other side? They did what God said. He said, go out. And they went out, and they're going up the hill, and they get up there, they're singing, they're praising God. When they get to the top of the hill, and they look down, what do they see? They see Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and these others had devoured one another. And what did the Lord say? What did the prophet say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're not even going to have to fight in this battle. That's the kind of victory that I want as a child of God. But it takes faith. And sometimes it takes spending time in prayer. Now let's don't forget something. Great victory. The scripture says in the 25th chapter that they were 3 days gathering the spoil. It was so much. In other words, God blessed them abundantly. God didn't have to do that. But God even let them benefit. He blessed them and that they gathered spoil for 3 days. But let's don't forget something. Have you ever spent a day on your face before God? Have you ever spent a week? Have you ever spent an hour? We'll go back to the 10th chapter of Daniel. Daniel had this kind of heaviness. For 21 days, he was on his face before God. I'll tell you what I don't like. I love the victory. I love being able to praise God. I love coming here on Sunday mornings. And folks, we had a hoedown Sunday morning, didn't we? I had people talk to me about it outside. And sometimes when people aren't here, and I know people sometimes can't come, and people go on vacation, they come back, say, we missed church. I said, you sure did. We love those times. But what about the time during the week that you're dealing with that boss and he or she is a maniac? And you're driving and you're dealing with those people that fulfill the scripture, where the love of many shall wax cold. What about when you're dealing with that problem or that neighbor, or you got that loved one that's bearing on your heart, and you have to spend hours in prayer? Let's don't forget that for Jehoshaphat to see this victory, he had to get low. He had to get heavy. And he had to come before the Lord in absolute brokenness and say, God, the only way it's going to happen, the only way is through you. Yes, Brother Joe. Amen.